This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy.
Is firing a missile at people delivering food and killing them not a violation of international humanitarian law?
Well, the Israelis have already admitted that this was a mistake that they made. They're doing an investigation. They'll get to the bottom of this. Let's not get ahead of that. Your question presumes at this very early hour that it was a deliberate strike, that they knew exactly what they were hitting, that they were hitting aid workers and did it on purpose, and there's no evidence of that. I would also remind you, sir, that we continue to look at incidents as they occur. The State Department has a process in place. And to date, as you and I are speaking, they have not found any incidents where the Israelis have violated international humanitarian law. And lest you think we don't take it seriously, I can assure you that we do. We look at this in real time.
They have never violated international humanitarian law ever in the past 5 to 6 months.
I'm telling you, the State Department has looked at incidents in the past and has yet to determine that any of those incidents violate international humanitarian law.
Go ahead,
Nadia. Now, that was Niall Stanage at a press conference, and he was questioning Admiral John Kirby, who's the administration's spokesperson. And Niall is, of course, associate editor of the Hill newspaper and White House columnist for The Hill, and a very important contributor to our podcast. Niall, that exchange you had with Kirby has gone viral. It's more powerful for the fact that you are not in any way demonstrative or in any way hyped up. You're just asking a basic question, and he wasn't really able to answer you. He's a very experienced press officer, even though he wears the title Admiral. He wasn't able to give a satisfactory answer, was he?
Well, people can judge that for themselves. I didn't think it particularly answered the question, but, you know, it's up to him to give whatever answer he wishes. It's just that that exchange was really about something that is a very live political issue here in the United States, which is whether American military aid to Israel should be made conditional upon Israel reining itself in a bit and acting within the boundaries of the laws of war and international humanitarian law. Now, as your listeners just heard, Admiral Kirby argues that Israel has not transgressed those laws at any point since October 7th, and your listeners can make their own judgment about that.
Yes, and as we speak on Thursday evening, Netanyahu and Biden are having a conversation on the phone. The fact of the matter is, Niall, that the US announced within the last week that they're going to sell $18 billion worth of fighter jets to Israel. And there is no question that this week has been important, particularly because of the what I would call murder of 7 aid workers from the World Central Kitchen. 3 of them were British, it was a Pole, a Canadian, and 1 Palestinian. They were distributing aid, and the Israelis took them out from the air. They're saying it was an accident. But the facts are that the three vehicles they took out with these people in them, these aid workers, were over a mile apart. So you couldn't accidentally take them out, really, could you?
It seems very implausible to me, this claim that it was accidental. The vehicles had the logo of World Central Kitchen on the roof, and a missile was put through the roof, at least, and that appeared to be the case from the photo that I saw. It's also notable that the founder of that organization, World Central Kitchen, a man by the name of Jose Andres, very well known in DC, had previously been studiously neutral, I would say, in the conflict, and had actually at times defended Israel's right to defend itself. And on this podcast, we have made very clear that the Hamas attacks of October 7th were unconscionable and atrocious. But it is notable that Mr. Andres is not buying this suggestion that it was some tragic accident. He is quite clearly saying that he believes it was deliberate.
Yes, and the people who are now dead, the victims, they had cleared with the Israeli Defense Forces what they were doing and when they were doing it. So there was no possibility that it could be a mistake. This was on the record stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was certainly coordination involved. In fact, my understanding is that aid workers can't really do anything without some level of coordination. And that, of course, makes the outcome even more outrageous. It is also, I think, worth noting, Eamon, that, well, getting aid into Gaza is enormously difficult in and of itself, but I've certainly seen other aid workers or workers affiliated with other organizations suggesting that they will now face a pretty difficult decision and may have to pull out because, plainly, they don't want to expose their volunteers to that kind of fate, even if you could get people willing to volunteer, given that the risks are so self-evidently grave.
200 aid workers have, in fact, died in the last 5-6 months while this conflict has been going on. But the question now, Niall, many people feel, rightly or wrongly, that this is a defining moment for everybody, that unless the Israelis can talk their way out of this, and the conversation between Netanyahu and Biden is taking place as we speak. Biden has declared himself outraged, and he said he's brokenhearted. But what he's doing and what he's saying are very different, it seems now, because he continues, as the 18 billion worth of fighter jets he's asking Congress to okay, he is fully committed to supporting Israel. And Netanyahu, even when people in Israel can't bear what Netanyahu is up to.
One of the most interesting things that has happened, I would say, particularly this week, although it has been building for a while, is the expansion of criticism of Biden for exactly the point that you mentioned. Saying things and doing nothing, effectively. So there have been a few times when he's expressed outrage. His rhetoric has grown tougher. But what we're now seeing is people who are not on the left of the Democratic Party, you know, moderates at most, talking about the fact that how sustainable is that really to keep protesting or asserting your sense of outrage or heartbreak while you are pushing munitions and fighter jets and other forms of military aid or military assistance toward Israel. That just doesn't seem really tenable at this point. And we've even seen, for example, just within the past 24 hours, there's a senator by the name of Chris Coons from Delaware, Biden's home state, who has been talking about the need for conditioning aid from now on. That guy is by no means some sort of Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez person.
No, I know
person.
Who he is. Yeah. He's a close friend of Biden's, actually.
He is, exactly, yes, and knows him well. Biden also, though this is secondhand information, reportedly said, at the White House recently that the First Lady, Jill Biden, has been imploring him to try to put a stop to things. Now, I don't know whether that can be verified or not, but certainly there is a growing chorus of criticism here.
Now, we just move on, Niall, a little bit to the question of the presidency and whether or not Biden can take on Trump with a chance of winning. What are the latest opinion polls showing in terms of two things? One is purely and simply, who do you expect to vote for, Trump or Biden? And the other area is, what effect or what is your attitude towards this conflict, towards Israel? And is that impacting on Biden's support in polls?
It is. So right now, there is a real issue for Biden, not just with Arab American voters, but with young voters particularly, and to some extent, black voters, because young Americans and black Americans are broadly more sympathetic to Palestinians than is the case for the general American population. And so that is having an impact. Now, as far as the polls overall are concerned, former President Donald Trump is still a slight favorite, maybe more than slight favorite to win. And one of the reasons I say that is that there was a new series of polls earlier this week from the Wall Street Journal. As you and I have mentioned before, this election will ultimately come down to probably about 7 battleground states. And in the Wall Street Journal poll, Trump was leading in 6 of those states. So just to keep the two threads untangled, of course, there's no suggestion that Trump would be any more, certainly not any more pro-Palestinian than Biden, quite the reverse. But the danger for Biden is a sort of apathy or discontentment among Democratic voters that would hold turnout down for him.
Or perhaps anger and serious disappointment that a man of whom better would be expected had allowed America, because it is America in the end, is it not, Niall, that will lose whatever moral authority it had. It would certainly diminish the United States of America to have supported Netanyahu and to have turned a blind eye, effectively, as Admiral John Kirby was trying to do when you questioned him. But they certainly have turned a blind eye to the fact that 32,000, an estimate, but a pretty close estimate, people are dead, and that most of them are women and children as we move into 6 months of this. And America has really stood idly by. And when we throw in the $18 billion worth of fighter jets, which of course will take a few years to build, they've done more than stand idly by. They have actively participated. They are Israel's sponsor.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there is a lot of anger among people who are potential Democratic voters about that, by which I mean basically people who are left of center. Because if you look at this, you know, through an international lens, one of the things that has been striking to me is, someone like David Cameron, for example, former Conservative Prime Minister, now Foreign Secretary, Cameron is notably more critical of Israel than an ostensibly left-of-center American administration is.
Yes.
Which sort of underlines just how much of an outlier the United States is in the international view of this conflict. Now, you, I think, are right to very gently correct me when I said apathy and you said anger. I think you're right. I think it is more an issue of people being genuinely angry about the conduct of this conflict and American policy on the conflict that is causing the political problem. And people, you know, quite seriously thinking about, on point of principle, just refusing to vote for Biden, even though they know the opponent is Trump. They just, you know, there are people who just feel at this point they can't morally vote for Biden.
Yes, now there is an interesting development in the state of Florida, which of course Ron DeSantis is the governor of, and where Trump resides at Mar-a-Lago, and that is that the abortion issue, the Roe v. Wade, which reversed by the Supreme Court recently. Mm. We expect it to get a lot of traction. It seems it has. That is a plus sign for Biden going into the presidential election. Whether it in any way will make up for what he's doing or not doing in the Middle East is another question altogether.
Well, it is, but there's no question that the abortion issue from a political standpoint helps Biden and the Democrats. And we have seen that. We saw that in the 2022 midterms, some of the big races there. The reason that Florida is especially salient on this issue is because of two court rulings we've had there since I last spoke with you. One of which upholds a 15-week ban on abortion, but in doing so also opens the door for an even stricter ban, a 6-week ban, to go into effect. That will, assuming it does go into effect, basically make abortion all but illegal, because, of course, many women would not even know they were pregnant in time enough to have an abortion before 6 weeks. The related issue, which is politically important, is that the same Florida Supreme Court, albeit by a narrower majority, is allowing what here is called a ballot measure or ballot initiative, but what means a statewide referendum, which will happen on Election Day in November, and that referendum in Florida will be about enshrining the right to abortion in the state constitution. It's worth emphasizing, Eamon, that there have been a number of these statewide ballot initiatives since Roe versus Wade was overturned, and so far the conservative or anti-abortion side has lost every one of them, including in rather conservative states. So there's no question that as a political issue, this is, as I say, to the benefit of Democrats.
Yes, and there's no question about the power of women's votes in deciding elections in the United States, particularly on what, you know, you could call, it's not a wedge issue, but it's a very important issue for every woman, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, it has real, I think it has a lot of political bearing on, you know, it is said at least that white college-educated suburban women are a very important swing group in American elections, generally speaking. Often people who might be, you know, somewhat conservative in their attitudes, but not hardliners. And I think that, you know, the abortion issue clearly has a obvious and understandable potency with that group. And that's why we have seen Democrats politically reap benefits from what have been judicially big defeats, of course, for the liberal side.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, to turn to Donald Trump's troubles with the law, one of the many cases he faces is in New York, where he has, I'm surprised, I didn't realize quite until I read this, that the Stormy Daniels affair, the payments he made to Stormy Daniels, who's an adult actress and a director, and she claims that she and Trump had an affair. He denies it, of course, but courts have found that, in fact, she's telling the truth about this. Now, this is being heard in the New York County Supreme Court, and Trump is attacking, as he has done elsewhere. This is very controversial, I'm sure you know about it. He's attacking judges, he's attacking lawyers, and in this case, he's attacking the daughter of the Supreme Court Justice. This is the New York Supreme Court Justice who's hearing his case. And he does attack and name other people in these cases. And they're not principals, some of them. They're just, you know, this is really shocking behavior from a former president, maybe the future president, who is putting people's names and, in the case of this one in New York, photographs of a judge's daughter. This is really shocking. To think that a man with a character like Trump's could be the next president of the United States, who believes in absolutely nothing, it seems. But to do this to a young woman is unbelievable. Can you confirm that it's happened?
It's certainly the case that he has been attacking the judges, lawyers, and indeed, as you say, the daughter here. The judge's name is Juan Marchand, and he has indeed attacked his daughter on Truth Social, his preferred social media platform, a number of times. He's done so on the ostensible grounds that she has, in fact, worked for Democrats in the past. But, I mean, it is clearly, it seems to me, a sort of a smoke signal, and not that difficult one to decode, to at least open the door to some sort of terrible, you know, other attacks on the judge's daughter. I think this is, firstly, it's unprecedented, certainly in my time covering the United States. I mean, one can have whatever view one wishes of past presidents, from George W. Bush to Bill Clinton to others, but to assume that people would be criminally charged and respond to such criminal charges by public attacks upon a judge's family. I mean, I don't think there's any other president of our lifetime who would have done that. It is notable that Judge Marchand has specifically expanded the terms of a gag order over Trump that is supposed to prohibit these continued verbal or social media attacks on judges' family members. But it does speak, I think, to Trump's frequent and utter disregard for the norms in these kind of matters.
In the context of the election, Trump's legal woes and this behavior of Israel in Gaza, where is the American mind, particularly the center-left mind, if there is such a thing? People like AOC, for example, Bernie Sanders, for example, are they silent, or do they not resonate now with sufficient people to make any impact in the sort of politics of the United States and the discussion, political discussion and debate in the United States?
So they do actually resonate. I mean, people like Sanders and AOC have been very critical at times, of the Biden administration's policies pertaining to Israel. They do also take the view, understandably from their perspective, that Trump would be a catastrophe. And so they believe that Biden needs to be reelected. In fact, Bernie Sanders appeared with President Biden just this week at an unrelated thing about, to make a long story short, the management of healthcare costs and medical costs, yes, and things like that. So there is clearly increasing criticism on, you know, beyond those people that would be considered hard left in American terms, to kind of center left figures. And of course, there is equally in tandem with that the fear of Trump. I think that just from a political perspective, even people on the center left are now deeply worried about what happens, because the polls, as we've noted, show Trump as a favorite of, by whatever degree you might talk about. And so how does Biden get the people who are now disaffected back again?
Yes.
That is a difficult question because the Israel thing is such a visceral issue.
Yes.
And how you solve that conundrum at this point, it seems, you know, it's hard to answer that question.
Now, let me ask you this question. It might be, I hope it's not as hard, but when he's been out on the stump recently, mm-hmm, Trump has said that he is going to do certain things and that he's going to do them quickly. He has a plan. For example, I saw him yesterday talking again about a man who was convicted by the courts, I think, in the last few days, and sentenced to 8 years in prison for January 6th activity, a violent activity. Now, Trump is calling people like him hostages. Mm. There are many of them in jail now for violence, and we mustn't forget that 5 people died on January the 6th. That kind of thing, and his promise that he's going to be a dictator, and also a piece I read in the Financial Times that he has, unlike 2016, when he kind of stumbled into the job and didn't really think he could win it, this time he has a team. They're a team of professionals. They know what they're doing, and there is a game plan. So he seems, on that reading, to be a much more dangerous potential president than he was in 2016.
I don't think there's any doubt that if he is reelected, he will set plans in action much more effectively than he did in the past. Now, I use the word effective to mean he has more of a chance of doing what,
yep,
he says he's going to do. For what it's worth, on the night in 2016 that Trump was elected, I was at his event covering it, and the people around him were really shocked that he won. And that followed through, I think, to the a sort of opening to the Trump presidency that was quite chaotic, and there were all sorts of people who frankly didn't really know what they were doing and all of that. You rightly point out that obviously he lost in 2020, he's trying to get it back this year, and this time around there are really serious plans to enact what he wants to do, including, for,
yes,
example, some suggestion that he would, to make a long story short, get rid of people in the equivalent of the civil service who would block his intentions. So in that sense, you can't say or feel what some people said or felt in the run-up to the first time, the 2016 election, which was sort of, this guy's a kind of cartoon or a buffoonish,
yes,
figure who won't do what he says. In fact, there are quite well-developed plans this time around to do what he says.
And it won't be pleasant for liberals like me. I won't tag you as a liberal. It will be pretty unpleasant if he starts looking for vengeance, is the word that strikes me as appropriate. He is a vengeful man, and he will be looking for vengeance.
Yes, certainly. I mean, he has actually said that he is out. I think his suggestion is that the people who vote for him should vote for him to be their vengeance or to be their retribution. So, I mean, he is quite clear that part of his impulse to run again is to exact some form of revenge for what he believes happened to him.
Okay, well, it's a few months away yet, and its backdrop is this tragedy in the Middle East, and we'll see what happens. We're very grateful to you, Niall, for joining us. Understand, Niall is absolutely one of the most loved and appreciated contributors to this podcast, and we're very grateful to him. Even though he's gone viral this week, we'll try and hold on to him. This might be an extra zero on the check. We're grateful to Niall Stanage, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.